I thought that this gospel was very important, and so we're not doing the psalm today. It's that Psalm 12 that I spoke about once before, because the whole advice of St. James, which I would urge you to ponder today, you know, this has to get deep in us so that we don't sin with our tongue, because the tongue expresses every emotion that's going on inside of us. And we've got to be careful. Then the psalm does pick up that Psalm 12. Remember I told you about they speak with heart and heart? Lev, lev, yedeberu. Well, there it is. Everyone speaks falsehood to his neighbor. With smooth lips they speak, and double heart. That's the way they translate it. Speak with a heart and a heart. The heart, I'm talking from my heart. I'm really not. I got another heart behind it. And that's where I got my agenda. That's a disgrace. So, the gospel. Jesus had just predicted his future. He'd be betrayed, he'd be tortured, he'd be killed, and rise again. And they didn't know what to make of it. So, he took the three leaders, Peter, James, and John, up on a high mountain and was transfigured before them. And Mark, who wasn't there, you know, learned this from the tradition, probably from Peter, since he was Peter's secretary later on in life. And he describes this this reality of Jesus. He was, the text in Greek is, he was metamorphosized, you see. He was totally changed before them. His clothes were dazzling white, you see. He was full of light. Then Elijah came, and then Moses, and they were speaking with him. St. Luke says they were speaking about his exodus. They were speaking about his passage back to the Father through the cross. And Peter, always quick to make a response, you see, not always the smartest one, but, Rabbi, this is great. Let's just stay right here. He didn't quite catch on that they were talking about his passion. Let us make three, I don't think tense is the right word. It's literal translation, but this is an allusion to the Feast of Tabernacles, which were sukkah, it's called, in which is not ochel, is the word for tent in Hebrew. This word, sukkah, is where we get the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Booths. He wants to make something here that's going to last, you see. And then, to confirm their faith in what they were going to live through, first, having Jesus arrested and made a fool of, tortured, and then died an object of mockery. It would be hard to hang on to your faith through that, wouldn't it? I mean, you love him, and he's been great, and he's talked about the Father like nobody could talk. He's healed thousands of people, but look, look. He wanted to impress on them something they would never forget. And so, if you look, for instance, at the letter of Peter, he talks about this. It wasn't any myth. We were with him on the mountain, you see, in the letter. You see, then a cloud came, and like at the baptism, the voice said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And then they saw nobody but Jesus. So Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, were there. And Jesus was transfigured, radiant. You know, his clothes Mark only talks about his clothes. After the resurrection, in the book of Revelation, that vision of Jesus that John had, remember? His hair was so dazzling white, his eyes, his garments. You remember that? You see, that's Jesus. Yet, that's the Jesus that comes to us in bread and wine. The healing of our crooked tongue, of course, is to heal our ego. The tongue only speaks what the mind's thinking, right? So if we could clean up our egomania, we'd be a much happier community. We'd have a lot more to say about the Lord to people, right? So this vision is for us, you know. Now when the Lord comes to us, he usually comes very discreetly. In the Eucharist, of course. But even when he comes to speak in our heart, it's quite discreet. Why? Why doesn't he come like Cecil DeMille, Cecil B. DeMille would like to portray him? You know, because he wants love. He doesn't want to frighten us. He wants us to love him. So he comes in a way that shows his love and wins us over, you see. And then they were ready to hear again about Jesus' future. As they were coming down the mountain, he told them, don't tell anybody about this until the Son of Man, which is the way he always talked about himself, right, is risen from the dead. Now they really were bewildered. Risen from the dead? What can that possibly mean? And so they probably, these three must have talked about it once in a while. What do you think he meant by that? If you step back a step, you see, this whole incident is a gift of love. He wants to strengthen them. He wants them to see another dimension of himself. So that when the tough times come. But as Paul points out in the letter to the Philippians, there's another reason for this and another reason why it comes down in the gospel for us. Because as Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. You know, my passport says heaven. That's where I belong. That's my home. You see? From there we await the Savior, who will transform the body of our lowliness to be conformed to the body of his glory. That's the other reason for this. To encourage us. Where are we going? We're going to be with Jesus, transformed by the Trinitarian life in the depth of our being, radiating out even to our body. That's why we'll be immortal, because the Trinitarian life is giving us life. We have God's life even keeping our body alive forever. So when things get tough, see, pick up the gospel and read the Transfiguration. That's where I'm going. You know, that's what kept Therese going her whole life, right? Looking forward to heaven. The greatest trial she had in the last few years of her life was God let Satan try to extinguish any hope for heaven. So she became the patron saint of atheists. She clung to her faith, but how many atheists since have found God through her holiness, her prayer? So this is an important mystery, you see. And this is where we're going. Are there going to be difficulties? Yeah, and maybe now in our day, more than most from the looks of everything. But the gospel here is meant to tell us, remember where you're going. Remember, you were going to have a body as beautiful and as radiant and as glorious as that of the Son of God himself.